Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
And starting to show off with the world famous John Edwards. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
All right. Big game in the NFL last night with Atlanta winning. Did you watch that? And what do you like for the old week five?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins throwing 500 yards is not a sentence I thought I would ever say in my life, but he did. Huge win for the Falcons, and could be one of those losses for Tampa Bay that kind of sets your season back a long way, because they really should have won that game, but sort of collapsed and left it open for Atlanta.
Baker continues to have a really good year.
Yeah, he's doing well. He's sort of revitalized in Tampa Bay, and you know, given how bad he looked in Cleveland, I don't know that anyone saw that coming.
Yeah. What do you like for Sunday and Monday?
If you want to get up early, the Jets are playing Minnesota in London, 9:30, and then Buffalo-Houston looks like the best game of the 1 o'clock bunch. That you got Buffalo trying to rebound from their loss to Baltimore, and Houston seems to be cruising along. If you're a masochist, Miami is playing New England at 1 o'clock, and you can see Roldan off the street to quarterback the Dolphins this week.
Oh, wow.
4 o'clock, it's not great, but Raiders-Broncos is usually tends to be interesting. That's an old rivalry, so that game matchup usually delivers. And then Sunday night, Dallas-Pittsburgh is great if you're a fan of the 1970s. And then we've got New Orleans and KC on Monday night, and that should be pretty interesting.
Fantastic. Let's turn to baseball. The Jays season is mercifully over. The Toronto fans are just out for Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins' heads. You were in Toronto a few weeks ago. What's your view on this?
I think they sort of, this franchise is very much set up for mediocrity. As long as people show up through the door, fill Rogers Center reasonably well, and build a team that sort of might get to the wild card and then go from there, that seems to be what Rogers is happy with. But there doesn't seem to be any particular ambition from anybody in Jays management to try and actually sort of build a winner like Philadelphia has done, like the Dodgers have done, anybody else. I think sort of the idea that you take a season that was disappointing on all levels and just sort of run it back with everybody the same, you know, isn't going to make the fans happy.
Yeah, one of the worst records and one of the highest payrolls.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, is that, you know, if you're spending money, you've got to spend it smartly. And the more you spend, the better the results have to be.
I say move them to Montreal. That's what I think.
That would be a fine idea.
Yeah. All right, 4 series start in baseball. You give me the winner and the number of games, all right? Tigers, Guardians.
I think we'll go Tigers in 4.
Okay. I just hate the Guardians because they changed their names. So there. The Royals and the Yankees.
I think that'll be the Yankees in... I'll go Yankees in 3. They've sort of turned it on late, so...
Wow. Okay. All right. In the National League, the Mets, wow, big win yesterday, and they play the Phillies.
Yeah, that game was ridiculous. It looked like Milwaukee was cruising, and then suddenly it all falls apart in the top of the 9th. I think the Mets will take the Phillies in 5.
Got it. And the Padres and the Dodgers.
I think it'll be Dodgers in 4 there. I think they're too strong at this point.
I got it. It was the passing of Dikembe Mutombo this week. You know, you obviously saw him play. He was not only an amazing player, but an amazing man.
Yeah, a great basketball player. Really the first great basketball player from Africa, you know, just as good as he was as a basketball player. You know, we certainly saw that throughout his career. And remember the 94 series where he led Denver to upsetting Seattle in the first round when Denver was the 8th seed and Seattle was first time that ever happened. As much so remembered for his humanitarian work during and after his career.
Yeah. I love that where players tried to dunk on him and then he'd reject it and he'd shake his finger.
Yeah, there is a Geico ad that you can probably find online of him blocking all sorts of things and wagging his finger. It's just hilarious.
Talk to you at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM. The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
It's radio's favorite reality show, Michael McDevitt's Weekly News Review on The Friday Drive. How you doing?
Well, not too bad, Daniel, and I hope we're as useful as reality shows usually are. I'm fine.
Many things to deal with again this week, Mr. McD. The Eastern Township School Board is dealing with significant cuts to funding for its French learning programs, and this threatens the program's future and impacts both staff and students. School Board's efforts in teaching French have expanded significantly in recent years, up to 500 full-time equivalent students. The board's recent budget allocation was unexpectedly cut back by the CAC to 2021 funding levels. Chairman Michael Murray expressed frustration and confusion over the cuts. Initially, the board hoped it was a mistake, but then they later confirmed that the reduction was intentional. The money, Michael, is being diverted into web-based teaching is basically what's going on. What the heck? The Quebec government, on one hand, is pushing to improve French language skills among immigrants, refugees, and new arrivals. Don't even get me started on laws and projects to restrict English in the province. what is the CAC thinking? This artificial intelligence thing is all the rage, but call me crazy. I'd rather learn with a teacher in front of me and with people around me who basically are going through the same issues I am.
I don't think I could say it any better than you just did. I don't know what thinking is going on behind the CAC these days. Hopefully it's successful. I can see, you know, okay, maybe artificial intelligence is going to help with this. I don't see any evidence that such a program exists already. Knowing the history of Quebec's involvement in developing homegrown software, it's going to be a while before they can get it to work properly. So in the meantime, we've got all these immigrants that he's complaining about that are not being taught. I don't know what they're thinking about. I'm honestly at a loss. So unless he's just plumbing for votes, I don't understand it. I don't.
Education Minister Bernard Drinville says through web-based learning services, they can reach up to 550,000 new immigrants. Well, good for them.
Well, sure they can. Sure they can. But are they going to teach them French? That's the question. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see how successful this investment is. It could be, but they haven't got a program to set up right now. That I know. I just don't understand, other than budgets, you know.
Quebec government said this week they will continue with the same budget they had 3 years ago. So they're just diverting money is what they're saying. After everything the CAC has come up with in way of ideas these past couple of years, I don't understand where web-based learning will help the collective. That's me.
Me either. Certainly not in the short term. I don't see the benefits of crippling already existing programs to invest in potential programs.
Yeah.
If you've got something that works and you want to replace one with the other, that's fine. To cripple one while you're developing another one that may or may not work, yeah. I don't see the logic in that. I just don't see it.
Nor do I. If somebody does, hey, send us a letter. We want to learn.
Please be clear, because I don't understand that.
Okay. Well, the U.S. is 1 month away before we get to the big reality show, also called Election Night. Tuesday night's vice presidential debate, Michael, between Republican J.D. Vance and Democrat Tim Walz, felt like a civil and relatively restrained conversation about the issues at the top of American voters' minds going into the November 5 election. The two men spent much more time attacking each other's running mate than each other during the 90 minutes plus on CBS. Walz had a shaky start, got things going after about 10 or 15 minutes. But the even-tempered, policy-focused debate probably served J.D. Vance, a polished public speaker, best in the end. How did you see things?
Vance did better than Walz on the debating format. I don't think it made the slightest bit of difference. Viewer polls showed him slightly the favorite. Vice presidential debates. I mean, what? Who cares about that? They were talking about the other guy's boss, so to speak, because that's all people care about. They don't care about vice presidential positions. You know, whatever the position is, if it's any different from their bosses, it's not going to have any impact. I'm so sick of American elections. They last forever. That's what American politicians spend all their time doing, is electioneering. Yep. All their time. That's just another one of those areas in world politics that I don't see a way out. American democracy is failing miserably.
You'd probably be more entertained by watching the West Wing episodes from 30 years ago.
Absolutely. or real politics from like 30 years ago, where, you know, at least sometime during the interim between elections, governments actually spent time governing.
And caring about the population.
Well, trying to do something about the population, yeah.
Speaking of government who may or may not care about its population, Israel has launched fresh airstrikes in southern Beirut yesterday, targeting Hezbollah's intelligence headquarters. Latest attack comes after a strike in central Beirut. First time Israel has struck the area since 2006. They killed at least 9 people early Thursday. Israel issued evacuation orders for additional villages in southern Lebanon. More than 1,000 people in Lebanon have been killed. About 1 million residents displaced since Israel escalated its war with Hezbollah. It sounds like another page from the old Gaza book. Bomb hospitals and bomb schools and tell everyone it's because the Hezbollah leaders are all in there.
Well, turn your neighbors into rubble. Yeah, this is, again, an area where I don't see any optimistic outcome. I just don't. Well, neither side is going to be willing to discuss unless either Hezbollah and Hamas surrender, which they're not going to do, or Israel gives into Hezbollah and Hamas's demands, which they're not going to. Two existential arguments going on. The two are mutually exclusive. There's no room for compromise. The compromises that have been made have not been agreed to or lived up to by either side. Israel, seems to me, is going to have to keep expanding its area of destruction until it's surrounded by rubble on all sides.
War is hell. I'm thinking that Israel will find Hezbollah to be a much more capable fighting machine than Hamas, though. Don't even get me started with Iran getting involved into this.
Well, this is it. Israel can hit Iran, and Iran can hit Israel. So, you know, everybody in between is vulnerable. This is not going to be pretty. America will have to get involved, more involved than it is already.
But that's the thing. With Biden, the lame duck, don't expect the United States to do a whole lot on their side to stop this. And let's not forget that Iran does have nuclear capabilities, Michael.
Biden's not going to do anything. Trump's not going to do anything. And Harris is not going to do anything. Call for a ceasefire. I can do that. And I'll be just as effective as they are. This is not an optimistic week.
Geopolitically, will the Chinese or the Russians get involved? And does this mean that we could open up like a really bad box here?
Oh, I think Russia's busy enough already. China, just watch the Western world kind of fall apart, you know? This can't go on forever. China doesn't need to get involved in the Middle East. Just watch adversaries bleed themselves dry.
Yep. And speaking of bleeding dry, the poor people in Gaza still are not getting a break from anyone. Bombardments continue there. Can't forget what's happening in Ukraine because that continues. There are a lot of other countries that also have to deal with war all over the world, but unfortunately, the only ones benefiting from this are the companies that make all these armaments.
If you're in the business of making weapons, yes, you're doing okay. These wars are just the ones we're talking about. We're not talking about going on in Somalia anymore, you know, which is on the verge of having one of the worst human disasters in history.
Yeah. Myanmar as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's wars all over the place. It's like we live in the Shire in Lord of the Rings while the rest of the world is just blowing itself up.
Well, I feel a whole lot better in speaking to you this week.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Man, oh man. Michael McDevitt with the Weekly News Review, every week at this time on the Friday Drive. Enjoy the weekend. In spite of all
of this. I'll do my best. Be thinking about other things than this. I'll tell you that much, because this stuff is driving me crazy.
As so it should. We speak next week.
See you next week, Daniel. Have a good weekend.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Haven't always been this way. I wasn't born a renegade. I felt alone, still feel afraid. I stumble through it anyway. I wish someone would have told me that this life is ours to choose. No one's handing you the keys or a book with all the rules. The little that I know, I'll tell you. When they dress you up in lies and you're left naked with the truth, you threw your head back and you spit in the wind. Let the walls crack, cause it lets the light in. Let them drag you through hell. They can't tell you to change who you are. know so far. That's all I know so far. So you might give yourself away. Yeah. And pay full price for each mistake. But when the candy coating hides the razor blade, you can cut yourself loose and use that rage. I wish someone would have told me that this darkness comes and goes. People will pretend, but baby girl, nobody knows. And even I can't teach you how to fly, but I can show you how to live like your life is on the line. You throw your till the world blows up, yes. Up and down and through, till the world blows up.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure at this time every week, connecting you with the Lake Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor McClure, are you enjoying the beautiful weather?
I am. I'm looking for the cooler fall weather, but I can't complain about the sunshine. That's for sure.
Can't complain for sure. And another nice next couple of days, too. All right, Taylor, lots of things going on. You can start with the Centre d'aide Richelieu Yamaska. There's a fundraising campaign.
Yeah, so Centre Richelieu Yamaska launched its official fundraising campaign for the MRC of Brome-Missisquoi to help support community initiatives that are making a difference for the population here in the area. So for those who don't know or who are not aware of Centre Richelieu Yamaska, they are a nonprofit organization that raises funds and collaborates with community organizations in order to address issues such as poverty and social inclusion. So this is actually the 69th year that they're running the campaign. And I spoke with Caroline Lippe, who is the executive director of Centre Aide Richelieu Yamaska, and she explained that the organization's work is more critical than ever before with various social issues on the rise in Brome-Missisquoi, including food insecurity, school dropout rates, violence against women, and more. She explained that the organization is focusing on raising awareness around these social issues and improving the lives of the most vulnerable population through the promotion of community involvement and regional solidarity. They do campaigns in the different MRCs that they support, but now they've launched an official campaign here in Bow, Missisquoi, and it's for a good cause. So if anyone's ever looking for more information, they can find all of that on the Centre Richelieu Yamaska website.
Got it. Let's talk now about a sustainable tourism project in the region.
Yeah, so the Coopération de Développement Économique de Sutton has actually shared a sustainable tourism project known as Taking Care of Our Destination Together. So Taking Care of Our Destination Together is actually a trail co-creation project in the town of Sutton that is meant to promote soft mobility, such as walking, while showcasing everything that Sutton has to offer in terms of its landscapes, culture, history, and more, according to the project manager, Jana Hubicek. When in our conversation with Jana, she explained to us that the goal behind the initiative is actually to mobilize the community to develop a sustainable tourism project that will benefit locals and visitors. So it's meant to be a collaborative project involving many stakeholders. So she said that access to nature and the preservation of the environment was top of mind for those that have participated in the project so far. Creating a walking trail was only natural for this. So the Coopération de Développement Économique de Sutton has actually been working on the project since the start of the year in collaboration with various stakeholders after receiving a $250,000 grant from the Fonds d'Action Québécois pour le Développement Durable. So it's really going to be interesting to see how the project evolves as they continue their consultations within the community. And from what I was told by Jana, that one of the next steps starting next year is to then consult with landowners to actually start building the trail. So it's quite interesting to see such a large collaborative project taking place here in the region.
Taylor McClure can be heard weekly on CIDI. And matter of fact, I was looking at the CIDI website, Taylor. Daily news bits can be heard through the CIDI website as well.
Yes, it can. If you head on over to CIDI991.com, you can click on the news tab and all of our previous news stories and current news stories are right there at your fingertips. You can always access the audio through our SoundCloud page as well.
Thank you again so much for everything you do for us. Have a great weekend. We speak next week.
Yes, thanks a lot, Daniel.
Friday night forecast calls for rain, low 12. Tomorrow, periods of rain, high 16. Saturday night, clear, plus 4. Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud, high 17. And long rains for Monday, periods of rain, high 13 degrees. Just after 5 o'clock, Ed Humphrey is here with the Townshipers Report. 5:10 interview of the week, Rachel Garber, editor of the Township Sun. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. This week, Mathieu Dizzy, professor at Bishop's University. All on the Friday Drive at CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.